Today is Saturday, the 8th of June 2024, and we are gathered here for the 135th session on mindfulness for beginners conducted in the English medium from Nisaramane Forest Monastery. And to our great fortune, we have Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero joining into the session representing the Nisaramane Forest Monastery. I would like to welcome Venerable Bhante on behalf of all of us through to today's program. And I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through the Facebook live stream and this Zoom session. Our program will initiate with in-session practice guided by Bhante. Then we'll proceed on to the talk on mindfulness based off the topic started or commenced from last week. And today is going to be the second chapter on that talk. Then we will proceed on to the question and answer session where we present the Bhante with written reports from you. So to commence things, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence the in-session practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. Let's start today's session with a mindful sitting practice. For this, you need to adjust your posture. Make sure that you are seated comfortably. Once you are comfortable, you can gently close your eyes. Simply notice what you feel in the present moment. You may feel surrounding sounds. Time to time, thoughts, memories might appear. You feel your body, the pressure points, the breathing. Among all these things, you are mindful. You simply notice or witness what is happening. Let's continue for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone. Now you can open your eyes. So that's few minutes of mindful sitting just to give you an idea so you can practice on your own. This is just to give you an idea. With that knowledge, you can try and practice on your own. Now, Mantha, you can take over.
Thank you very much, Banti, and much merits. Next, we have the talk on mindfulness, and I will share the screen for the title. I would like to invite Banti again to commence the talk on mindfulness scheduled for today.
Okay, everyone. So this is a continuation from last week. We'll try and take some time to discuss the same topic. Into a different aspect probably. Now, this topic, it's about the voices in your head. Now, you have number of voices in your head. You have many voices in your head. Maybe some of the voices are your parents' voices. Some of them might be from your teachers, right? So various voices are there, commenting, chatting all the time. Sometimes dialogues are there. Sometimes monologues are there. This commentary, this inner chatter, these voices are always there in our head or in our mind. Usually, most of the time, if you don't practice mindfulness, if you are not a meditator, then you don't even notice these voices. They are in the background all the time, commenting. Hardly you notice these voices. But when you practice mindfulness, you start to feel so many voices, so many dialogues, so many monologues. So much inner chatter is happening within me or in my mind. So as a mindful practitioner, we start to notice the inner chatter, the voices, the dialogues in our head. In a way, it's good to notice that these things are there. In a way, it's good to know that so much noise is in my mind. Earlier it was there, but most of us, we don't notice, hardly notice these voices. Maybe once in a while we notice, again we get lost in the process and we forget about these things. They are always in the background, sometimes commenting, sometimes giving various opinions, ideas, sometimes cursing. Right, so that way these voices are at work, they continue. And when it comes to these voices, most of us, we think or we compulsively listen to these voices, we execute the commands of these voices, we accept the ideas given by these voices, right? So that way we continue. But when we start practicing mindfulness, in a way what we say is simply be aware that these voices are there, the inner chatter is there, the commentary is there. Simply be aware. Of course, initially it is exhausting. You know that so much voice or so much noise is in my head, commenting about everything, accusing various people, again and again having dialogues, monologues. So this way, the voices, they continue. What we suggest is, among these things, can you simply be mindful? That's the very idea. Even today's sitting, among all these things, we try to be mindful. We simply witnessed that these things are there. You may have noticed the inner chatter. You simply witnessed it. The surrounding sounds, you simply witnessed them. So that way we continue with the mindfulness practice. Initially, it is difficult. Initially, we get carried away by these voices. We forget mindfulness and we get lost in these voices. We get carried away by them. That's fine. The practice means repetitively you are trying. Repetitively you try to be mindful. Again and again you get carried away, but again and again you have the ability to be mindful. That way we continue. And when we continue like that, little by little, we develop the ability or the strength to observe these things without interfering that much. Usually for a beginner, it is difficult to observe without interfering. The beginner tries to control everything. That is the natural tendency. Even when you start mindful walking or mindful sitting, some people, they can't walk. Suddenly it's so difficult to walk. Why? Because they are trying to control their walking body. And some people, they struggle with their breathing. They can't breathe properly. As soon as you pay attention, you notice your breath. You start controlling your breath. The breath becomes forceful and they exhaust themselves in the process. So this way, initially or the beginner, they always interfere with these things. They control the walking. They force the breathing. That way they interfere. But gradually you can develop the ability to observe without interfering. That ability comes gradually. You can't do it overnight. Again and again you interfere. Again and again you make mistakes. That's fine. Repetitively you practice, and with repetitive practice you should be able to observe the walking without interfering with it. Observe the breathing without interfering with it. So this is a vital skill when it comes to the practice. Now you know that things are happening. Things are happening. You are simply observing the happenings. You are simply observing the things, right? So that's that ability we develop. Now even today's sitting, you noticed surrounding sounds. When we notice surrounding sounds, we don't feel like it's something under our control. It's due to our surrounding. Simply it is appearing, hitting your eardrums, then disappearing after a while. Again and again, these noises or the surrounding sounds come and go. You don't feel like you have any control over them. You simply allow them to come and go. You simply let them pass, right? Because these things are happenings. Sounds are happenings from your surrounding. But visually, when it comes to our thoughts, memories, we don't feel like this. Thoughts, memories, we feel that we are in control. When it comes to our bodily sensations, we don't feel like this. The bodily sensations, we feel like we are in control. Right? So that's how you feel. But gradually, you practice, when you practice repetitively, you realize even the thoughts, they are just happenings. It's like clouds in the sky, right? Various shapes, various colors, various speeds. These clouds come and go. And you don't have any saying on these clouds. That's the very idea. When you repetitively practice, Little by little, you realize that these thoughts, these voices, these memories, they are simply happenings. They may have past causes behind them. But anyway, those causes are past causes. Simply, these things are appearing and these things are disappearing. So this is the nature of these thoughts or the voices or the memories. So gradually, we are developing this vital skill to observe these voices, to observe these thoughts, to observe these memories without getting carried away by them, without claiming the ownership of them. That's the very idea. That's what we are doing. That's what we practice with repetitive mindful walking and sitting. These voices, you don't have to go and claim ownership to them. These thoughts, you don't have to go and claim ownership to them. These memories, you don't have to go and claim ownership to them. So gradually, you develop the ability to observe these things as happenings. Right? So that's the very idea. That's the very essence of this mindful practice. In a way, earlier, you claimed ownership to these things. Now, no longer you are claiming ownership to them. Right? These voices are there. These dialogues are there. Monologues are there. They simply are happenings in the present moment. If you can observe them in that manner, then you are no longer the owner of those things. You are no longer pulling the same process of these voices, of these dialogues, of this commentary, right? So that's the very idea. That's the very idea. If you try to claim ownership to these things, then you start drowning in these thoughts, in these voices, in these dialogues. You become one with them, you become the owner, and you start drowning in these thoughts, in these dialogues. But if you know how to observe them without claiming the ownership to these things, then it's like you are surfing on these thoughts. You are surfing on these voices. Or in another way, it's like you are swimming. You know how to navigate yourself among these thoughts. You know how to navigate yourselves among these voices. Right? That's the very essence. That's the vital ability that we are developing when we practice mindfulness. You can't develop this overnight. Instead, you simply continue with your practice. Continue with your practice. Every day, a couple of hours, or at least 1 hour, just do a formal sitting and walking. Then even your daily activities, try to be mindful every now and then. That way, you continue for a few weeks, few months, and gradually you realize that you are developing the ability to observe these things as happenings. You no longer go and claim ownership to these things. Usually, most of these thoughts are involuntary. Most of these voices are involuntary. Most of these commentary or the dialogues, they are involuntary. What happens is that when we go and claim ownership to them, when we go and say, "This is me, this is mine," then you are following that same process. In a way, we try to disclaim ownership. We try to see them as simply as happenings. And when you develop that ability, you realize majority of these things, they are involuntary. Every now and then, there'll be some voluntary thought processes, voluntary voices, of course. But most of the time, majority of these things, they are involuntary, right? So you develop the ability to observe them without making them yours. You develop the ability to observe them for their very nature. They have this involuntary nature. So you try to develop that ability to observe these things in that very nature. Usually, when things are voluntary, in a way, we feel that we are responsible. Right? So that happens to most of us. When we think it was intentional, it was voluntary, then we feel responsible. If they are involuntary, then there is nothing you can do about them. For example, the surrounding things, surrounding happenings, the sounds, you can't be responsible for those sounds. They are happenings in your surrounding. They are involuntary. You have nothing to do with them. Right? So that's the very idea. If we feel that these are voluntary, then we feel responsible. But if they are involuntary, then you don't have to worry about it. Most of the time, things are involuntary. When things are involuntary, in a way, you feel like you are under some higher power. These things are appearing out of nowhere. It feels like somebody is imposing these thoughts, voices on me. Right? That idea might come to some people. Even certain people who are suffering with mental illnesses, they believe that these voices are from somebody else. Somebody else is imposing their command on me. Somebody else is ordering me. That way they think. They think that they are involuntary, so they might be from somebody else. And when we feel everything is voluntary, that is your very ego. You feel that you have the authority to do everything. You feel like everything is under your control. You feel like you are the creator of this thing. Right? That way we feel. So time to time we become the creator. Time to time we become the creation. Time to time we feel like we are the person who is responsible for everything. Time to time we feel like somebody else is responsible for these things. Right? So meditators, even non-meditators, they may get into these different views, ideas, opinions. They say that this is imposed on me by somebody else, some higher being. They say, I am the controller, I am the creator of these things. So this way, repetitively, various views, ideas might come to us. Especially when you practice mindfulness, when you start witnessing these things, different wrong views, ideas might appear. But the mindful practitioner, they are always advised not to come into conclusions. Okay, today you experienced this. It was weird. But you can simply take it as another experience. Try to continue tomorrow and see what comes. Try to continue day after tomorrow and see what comes. We are not reaching into conclusions based on our observations. At least not within a day. At least not within a week, right? So that way, we continue observing. The very valuable advice you have to give them is not to come into conclusions. You may hear different voices. You may feel like somebody else is imposing their order on you. But continue observing. Sometimes you feel like you are creating everything. You are creating these thoughts. You are creating these things. You are responsible for these things. That too is another wrong view, wrong idea. Simply continue your observation without coming into them. That way we continue our practice. right? With these different experiences come. Sometimes you feel like you are the creator. Sometimes you feel like you are the creation. Things are voluntary, things are involuntary. When involuntary things are happening, you feel like somebody else is imposing their order. When voluntary things are happening, you feel like you are the responsible person for these things. Right? That way you may feel. But when you practice repetitively, the correct view might appear. You realize that these things, although they are not apparent, have past causes. Due to various causes, these things happen. Right? You have different causes because different causes for the things that are appearing. So you don't have to worry about the past. We may have different past causes, but we can simply let go of these happenings as happenings. We simply continue our observation. We simply be mindful and notice repetitively what is happening. That way, we try to continue our practice. And when you continue that way, you realize even the past causes, they still might be there, but they are reducing in power. Their energy, their strength is reducing. Earlier, certain thoughts, ideas, voices were so much powerful. They had so much control over you. But when you practice for a long period, then you realize gradually that control is losing its grip. They no longer have so much power or control over you. These voices, they no longer have so much power or control over you. These commands, these dialogues, these commentary, they no longer have so much power or control over you. That ability you are gradually developing, that ability you can feel gradually, right? So that's very important, because otherwise you still are a slave of these voices. You still are a slave of these commands, of these commentary. But gradually, when you keep practicing, when you develop that ability, you realize these are simply happenings. They have not so much control over you. And sometimes in your meditation, you may feel that so many thoughts, voices, these dialogues, they come and go. At lightning speed, they come. At lightning speed, they disappear. These type of experience are not foreign to a regular meditator. These thoughts, these voices, these dialogues, the commentary, they appear. They come at a lightning speed. They disappear at a lightning speed. You don't have to do much about it. You don't even have time to reflect upon them. They are simply thrown at you at a very high speed, right? So when these experiences come, when you go through these experiences, now you tend to realize that this is due to past causes, and you are no longer worried. You are no longer moved by these thoughts, voices, commentary, right? That strength is there. You no longer are so much moved by them. These thoughts, these voices, the commentary, they come and go. You are simply there. And they don't even last a moment. They don't even last 1/10 of a second. They simply come at a flash. They simply disappear at a flash. Right? Why? Because you no longer hold on to them. they no longer have power or control over you. And after the sitting session, when you get up from the sitting session, you don't even notice what are the thoughts, voices that you experienced during the sitting. You were mindful. You remember so many thoughts, voices came, but they are not in your memory when you get up from the sitting session. So that's a very nice experience suggesting that the voices come and go, the thoughts come and go, the commentary come and go, but they no longer have so much control over you. That ability is there. That ability is there. That's why these experiences come in our sitting sessions. If you are holding on to them, of course, then it's the same thought that is going in a never-ending loop. It's the same commentary about a problem at home. Repetitively, never-ending loop, it is going. But when they lose that grip on you, then they simply come at a flash, disappear at a flash. You don't even have time to reflect upon them. And some people, they come and say, so many thoughts came, but I couldn't reflect upon them. They think that it was a negative issue. They think that their meditation was not proper, so that's why they couldn't reflect upon them. But if they are coming at a flash, if they are disappearing at a flash, why should you worry about them? If there is something to reflect upon, it should last longer. These things are following their own nature. They are following their own course. Right? So you don't have to worry about it. This is the true nature of things. They come at a flash. They disappear at a flash. If you only hold on to them, they will stay, they will last, right? So these thoughts, they come at a flash. These voices, they come at a flash and they disappear. You don't have to chase after them in order to reflect upon. That's not the way. Instead, simply witness. If they last long enough, of course, you'll have a certain memory, certain reflection on them. If they disappear quickly, then what should you worry about? So that's the very idea. And these experiences will teach you or tell you the real nature of things, the real nature of thoughts, the real nature of these memories, the real nature of these voices. Right? So only through meditation you can realize it. You have to go through these different experiences. Then only you come to the realization that these thoughts, they don't have so much control over me. They no longer last for a long time. Some of the people, they feel a huge void in them. Now the thoughts are not lasting. Now the voices are not lasting. Now these things are not lasting. They feel a huge void in them. They feel the urge to fill this void. They feel like they want to get something, get a past memory, and try to fill this void. Some incident, lust, anger, try to fill this void. That way, you struggle. But you have to be assured that this void you don't have to fill. It's good to feel this void. But there's this urge in us. This void is so boring. Boredom hits you as soon as this void appears. So you feel like there's this urge in your mind to fill it. Sometimes this urge is happening involuntarily, and it is filling, trying to fill this void. It drags the lust and try to fill this void. The family problems, the anger, try to fill this void. So that way this mind will try various ways. Let them continue. You don't have to control it. Simply let this urge to continue, urge to fill this void to continue. But when you continue for some time, the mind itself will realize that there is no point in trying. Although you try to fill this void, it is not possible. Again and again, things disappear. Again and again, things lose their value. Right? So that's the very idea. And with time, with repetitive practice, the mind will be able to accept this empty void and simply be with it. Sometimes you feel this extreme sleepiness in such experiences. This sleepiness, it's not the regular sleepiness. Instead, towards the end of your sitting, you feel this heavy sleepiness. In a way, it's a good sign that your mind has accepted this void. When it has accepted this void, it is natural that you feel this boredom hitting you. But this boredom should be considered as a good omen. It's a good omen that your mind is letting go of all the noises. The mind is letting go of all the urges. The mind is letting go of all the struggles. Just for a few seconds, just for a few minutes, it might let go. Again, when you get up from your sitting session, when you spend a couple of minutes, when you spend half an hour, then again, the same old process will continue. But even in your sitting session, even for a few minutes, you are experiencing the real nature of things. You are experiencing how to lose the grip of these thoughts or voices. When you lose the grip of these thoughts, voices, it is so empty, so void, and sometimes it is so blissful, you may feel. Right? So these experiences might last only for a few minutes, but it's worth to go through them. It's worth to go through them. And when you practice again and again, they become more and more prominent. And they come more and more naturally to you. Right? So this way, you have to continue with your practice. And through the practice, we can realize that these voices, these commands, this commentary, they lose us their power. They don't have so much power to control you anymore. They lose their grip on you. That's a good sign. That's a positive sign. Otherwise, these thoughts, these voices, you will drown in them. If you know the practice, if you have developed the practice, then you realize among these things you are able to navigate. Among these things you are able to swim. So that's the very idea of today's topic. The worldly person drowns in the same waters in which the noble swims with delight. It's the same waters. Some people, they drown in them. Some people, they swim in delight. So you have a choice which category you want to be in. With that, I'm ending today's discussion. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, and much thanks to Bhante for that excellent talk on today's topic. Next, we will move on to the question and answer session, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence the session. I will share the screen for the introduction to beginners.
Thank you, Namantha. Thank you, Bhante. We will run through this beginner's guide as usual for anyone who wants to share it with some other people or have a refresher about how to restart your meditation. So we have got two videos here. The links will be provided in the chat. And if not, if you're listening through Facebook or downloading to listen later, ask us when we will send you the links for these. The first video is about mindful walking, and then it's about mindful sitting. Watch these videos, then set aside some time to practice, and start the practice with any amount of time, a short period of time, and then build it up to 2 hours, as we recommend. Once you have practiced walking meditation and sitting meditation, and put the experience that you felt into your own words, and write a report and send it to us, so we can then present it to Bhante and get his guidance on your practice. And this will be your own practice, what you felt at that moment. You can send it to us via the Google form. The link is provided again, and email beginnersnb@gmail.com. And we will present it to Bhante and get his guidance. Now, if anyone wants to listen to these sessions later, we have the link again, it is also available in the Nisal Nomane website. You can use the link and download and listen later. Right, now I will move on to the Q&A, and the first in that is a report that we have received. We'll start with the first report, which starts mindful walking. Walked on the pavement with shoes on, heels and toes firmly felt. Due to quick steps, lifting, moving, placing of feet were not that clear. Sometimes lifting of feet noted more, other times placing noted more, but moving was faster, so could not observe it as well as when on walking path. Thoughts would appear and disappear. Breeze felt on the face, noted the body weight on both feet, waiting at the crossing. Walked for 40 minutes. Continued to feel the vibrations from walking for a few more minutes afterwards. Mindfulness during the day. When good memories came, it had more to do with good feelings evoked in own mind. It seemed to have less to do with the people or irritations involved. Also noted wanting the good feelings again. Hence, the associated memories were entered in mind more. Similarly, when negative or bad memories came, noted the mind wanting distance from people and interactions that gave rise to these feelings. Know that the feelings have risen internally and not put into the mind by external people or events. So the reactions with both good and bad memories seems to be inaccurate. Also noted how the preconceived ideas or perceptions about things and other clouding reality and others clouding the reality, and yet the mind's resistance to let go of these ideas. Not sure if this part of report is making sense. Found it hard to express what is happening well with words. Passing away of both good and bad memories is observed too. This brings a calmness in mind. Still, the curiosity remains. Will not be at the class due to going on a short mindfulness retreat, but looking forward to catching up with the recording before the next session. Bhante, look forward to your feedback. Much merit to the organizers. That's the end of report, Bhante.
Okay, sometimes it's harder to explain what's happening, as you mentioned, but it's good to, you know, in a way you try to explain it. That's good. In a way, trying to explain is good, because then you have to reflect upon it more and more. So that's a positive thing in reporting. In addition, the people who are listening, they too might get some idea about the true practice. So thanks for trying to report it, although it was hard to report. And these are the experiences. These are the experiences. You see how the mind works in different shades, in different angles, you can feel it. The pleasure, there is always attraction towards the pleasure. You want to have the same experience again and again. The same people, you go after them, trying to get that pleasurable feeling once more. Then when there's pain, or the negative side, then aversion appears. You want to distant these people, You want to get rid of them. You want to get rid of these experiences. So this is the nature of our mind. And usually the white or the white side will say, the positive side, we chase after it, we want to sustain it. While the dark side, the negative side, we want to get rid of it, right? But the true nature of life is that they are interconnected. You may have seen those optical illusions. Those optical illusions, they have a dark color object in a white background. Some people, their attention goes to the dark color object and they say, okay, this is the object that's in that illusion. Some people's attention goes to the white color background and say, no, no, and so this is the object that's there, right? So they fight, they argue, trying to prove each point. But in reality, if your attention goes to the dark color object, you will get one idea. If your attention goes to the white color background, you'll get another idea. Both of these things, they are interconnected. That is the irony in this, right? Without the white background, the object can't survive. The dark color object can't survive. Without the dark color object, the white background loses its meaning. So both of these things, they are interconnected. They are interconnected, right? Without one, the other can't survive, right? So that's how these negative and positive experiences are. If you want to get the positive experiences, then in a way you are asking for the negative experiences as well. Both of them are interconnected. Without one, the other won't survive, right? So that's the reality of this life, of our existence. The mindful practitioner, they realize that when I go through positive experiences, I have this attraction towards them. The positive people, I want to attract them. Then when I go through negative experiences, I have this aversion towards it. The negative people, I want to get rid of them. The experiences, I want to get rid of them. That very observation let you go beyond the positive and the negative. Because you are the observer. You are no longer caught in that process. That is the value in this practice. Right? It's natural that your mind tends to get rid of the positive. Sorry, the negative. The mind goes after the pleasure. That's the natural behavior of this mind. But what happens is that you realize that's what the experience in your report. You say that mind shows this behavior towards the negative experiences. It shows this behavior towards the positive experiences. That is how you can really transcend the positive and the negative, or the dark and the white, right? That transcending is important. Otherwise, you are always caught in the same process. Whether it's be positive or negative, they are interconnected. They depend on each other. But what you do is, when you practice mindfulness, when you realize, when you become mindful of this behavior of your mind, you are going beyond both the experiences. That's where the peace lies. If you want to be peaceful in your mind, you have to go beyond the positive and the negative, or the dark and the white, right? So that's the very idea. Those Zen symbols, maybe we identify it as Kung Fu symbol, yin and yang, right? That's black and white mixed together. That's the true nature of this universe, of this existence. If you want to find peace, you have to go beyond these experiences. Go beyond the positive and negative. Transcend both of them. How to transcend this very observation? Right? Now you are no longer caught in that negative. You are no longer caught in that positive. Instead, you are simply observing the habitual behavior of your mind. That observation, sometimes it is difficult to explain it, put it into words. It's natural. This is a really complex thing that's happening, complex process, right? So it's natural that sometimes you can't put it into words. That's fine. We again and again go through the practice. We again and again try to report. So thank you for sharing your experience with the group.
Thank you, Bhante. So we don't have any more reports received today. I can now open it out to any questions about today's session or any other questions that you have. Please raise your Zoom hand and let us know. And we'll allow you to unmute yourself and ask the question. I can't see any hands being raised. Bhante, can I just ask you, you know, with the topic that we are discussing today, is it schizophrenia, essentially? Is something to do with chemical imbalance of your brain, as the medicine suggests? So is that... obviously, something to do with your past karmas. I would say you have that in you. Or do you think someone like that can start meditating? I'm just asking a hypothetical question at the moment. Can start some sort of meditation and maybe positively reverse that? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, the first thing is that when you see the studies, when you go into the science, they don't even know why these things are happening, right? They have no idea after so many years of research. They say that they can't still find the causes of these mental illnesses, right? Different things are there. And some of them, they feel like it's the genetics. Right, genes, they play a huge role in this. That's what they say. But in addition, sometimes the lifestyles, the surrounding, that too matters. Right, so it's not, in a way you can say the karma plays a huge role, but that's not the only deciding factor. Right, sometimes drugs can push your mind into a certain level which you can't return. Especially those chemically created drugs, something like crystal meth, right? Those things have their negative sides. They can push your mind into a certain status that you can't return back to the original or the natural mind, right? So these things are there. In a way, the karma or this genes, nature plays a huge role. In addition, that there's this surrounding, our choices, they too make a huge impact, right? So some people, they might get it from genes, so strong, so difficult when such cases happen. But all in all, our focus is mainly prevention. That's our main focus, because when your mind is pushed beyond a certain level, you may not have control over it. Especially when it comes to these serious, severe illnesses, you may not have control over your mind, right? Although they want to get better, they can't do it. They don't have that power. Or sometimes they have to go for medication. Even the medication, it is not a permanent solution. Right? So those difficulties are there. But our main focus is prevention. You are making choices every moment, every second. So if you are mindful, you would make better choices. If you are not mindful, then we don't know what's happening to us, right? Especially our livelihood, the choices we make, it has a huge role in these things. The drugs, things like that, the lifestyles, spending time on these devices, they are reprogramming your brain, these devices, right? So that's happening. That's real. It's not a myth anymore, right? These devices, they are reprogramming your brain. These games, this younger generation, sometimes they lose themselves due to these various kind of difficult games, weird games. The violence is imposed into them by this simulation, right? Then they spend hours and hours, days and days playing the same game. Then one day they are pushed towards a certain status that they can't return, right? So the main focus is prevention. That's the very idea. With practice, you make better choices. You are more aware of your negative ones. You are more aware of your negative choices. That very practice helps you to prevent. But this could be used as a cure as well. Not to severe cases, not to probably to the severe cases, but mild cases, it could be used as a cure as well, right? But it's a long, painstaking process. You have to understand, once the mind is sick, it's not easy to return back to the earlier states, right? It has evolved into a different state of mind. Now, I've been dealing with certain people over the past year or two, and sometimes they say that their life difficulties, struggles, right? So many years of pressure, so many years of depression. And at a certain point, they are pushed towards a different, totally different status of mind. And it's not easy for them to return, right? They remember that they were much more peaceful in their minds earlier, a few years ago. But now that peace is no longer there. Maybe after a few years of evolution, led them towards that status, right? So returning is also a painstaking, long process, right? Even with the support of meditation, probably things like exercising, right? And various other things that are involved in the process, eating healthy, making better choices, so that day, years and years, they have to work towards betterment. And only with such struggle, they can return. So both things are there, but our main focus is prevention. It can be used as a cure, but probably not for those severe cases, right? A mild case, it might help. And still, it's going to be a long, painstaking process.
Thank you, Bhante. I've actually had a close friend who's gone through a whole a breakdown, I would call it, and I saw the medicine, what it did to him was actually to slow down his entire process, or his actions as well as thoughts. I suppose the thoughts would slow down along with the actions. I felt everything was slowing down with the medication, whereas his speech, his movements, everything was slowed down. So I think that's when he started to recover. And, you know, I'm trying to see if I can maybe advise him of starting some meditation as well, which is why I was asking you. And another thing I want to mention was, since last week, you know, the exercises you have given me, my daughter suffers with a bit of anxiety, and she has said that it's helpful to do these connections to come back into sort of you know, get back into normalcy a little bit. So thank you very much for that as well, Bante. So if anyone else has any more questions, please do raise your hand. I've been dominating the questions for a while now, so I will leave it.
Yeah, those paying attention to the body, even during day-to-day activities, it helps to ground, right? Grounding into your body. And it's a very nice way to practice mindfulness, because anyway, we are doing these things, right? So it's good to be grounded in your body. When you're grounded in your body, no stress, no anxiety, no mental illness can come. Right? They only come into you when you are lost in your mind. Right? So these exercises help. And as you mentioned, the medication, it slows down the entire process. The thought processes, the body, they can't function, they can't talk, they can't think, right? And it's not a permanent solution most of the time. Unfortunately, what can we do, right? That's the reality. Even we have certain monks who are experiencing these difficulties, and they say once the medicine is taken, they can't function. They can't function. They can't even do their day-to-day duties, the necessities. They can't function, right? The stronger the medication, the more troubling it will be, right? So sometimes they reduce the dose with time. And there's this funny story. One of the monks, he went to the doctor and said that this dose is too much to me. I can't function with this. Can you reduce it further? Then the doctor said, Bante, we can't help with it. Even I am taking the same dose. Even the doctor is taking the same dose, so what can you do, right? That's how people survive this world, right? So if you want to be healthy, there's a way. You can't directly go into the practice. If you are suffering with such illnesses, maybe start with a walking practice. Walking practice might work. For such people, sitting, it would be difficult for them. That's my experience. So maybe like walking would help a lot, right? So that way, gradually, maybe years on end, they have to continue and develop it, right? Your mind has to evolve into different states. It's not easy, right? But we'll be hopeful.
Thank you, Bante. I can't see any other raised hands. And I will assume that there are no more questions. We will be discussing a new topic next week. So hopefully you'll have questions with that. So I will move on. Namantha, it's over to you.
Thank you, Sonali, and much merits to you for conducting the session. And much merits to Venerable Bante. We would wrap up today's program slightly ahead of time, but that's fine. So I would like to associate all the merits gained in today's session to Venerable Bante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero and thank him for his dedication to committee's time and energy into today's session. And we wish him good health and the achievement of mindfulness objectives. Furthermore, I would like to associate these merits to the Most Venerable Bante Udayirikama Dhammajiva Mahathero, the Chief Abbot of the Nisarana Forest Monastery, for instructing us to create this program. We wish him well and wish him long health and also the achievement of his objectives in Path of Dhamma. I would also like to thank and mention the organizers behind this program. I wish and associate these merits to be shared with them and hope that their own mindfulness practices will flourish into the future and they reap their objectives in the path of Dhamma. I would also like to thank heartily for all your participation in today's session through Zoom and also through the Facebook live stream and wish these merits to be associated to all of you for the achievement of noble objectives in the path of Dhamma, in the path of mindfulness. So the program will continue next week, same time. That will be 1 p.m. in Sri Lankan time format. And we would invite you to participate in that session as well. Also, please spread word among your friends or colleagues about this program so that they also can join. I would like to wish all of you a happy and mindful week ahead, and we would meet next week similar time for a similar session. Thank you and many merits. I will end the Zoom session now.